Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Criticism of the Orlando Police Department's response to the attack at the Pulse nightclub began immediately. A headline at the Los Angeles Times, published less than 24 hours later, read, "Police face questions about delayed response to Orlando shooting." There was a 30-minute window between 2:20 a.m. when the first round of shooting stopped and 2:50 a.m. when the perpetrator, Omar Mateen, claimed in a call with crisis negotiators to have bombs. Critics argue the OPD should have moved in during that window. Officials with the department say it was at that time when the situation changed from an active shooter to a barricaded gunman with hostages situation, and that change in classification was critical. This window is the focus of one episode in a remarkable community service podcast series produced by member station WMFE called Life After Pulse. This episode was hosted and produced by Brendan Byrne.
So there's been quite a bit of controversy and criticism over the law enforcement's reaction to the Pulse nightclub shooting. For one, digging into the timeline, as we have done here, there's quite a bit of time where officers weren't interacting with the shooter at the time. So when the shots were first fired at 2:02, an extra-duty police officer was the only one there and was kind of flushed out. And it wasn't until a few minutes later before they were able to receive some backup and go in. And by 2:18, so about 16 minutes after the first shots were fired, Omar Mateen, the shooter, had holed himself up in a restroom on the west side of the club and remained there until SWAT breached the exterior wall at about 5 o'clock. So there's been some criticism as to why the police didn't approach him any earlier than that, and it was a hostage situation for so long.
Here's the audio from the 911 call, which took place at 4:19 a.m. This is 2 hours later, and the 911 call basically says the predicament of the police straight out.
"We are in the bathroom in Pulse. There's two people in here that are about to die. There's four already dead. Someone needs to come in here now."
"Listen, I understand. I understand. And I know you're scared. We have help coming to you, okay? You're in the bathroom.
We've been in here.
I understand. They have to secure the scene, okay?
Can they send someone in here? These two people are going to bleed out. Four is going to turn into six if someone doesn't come in here."
"Okay, and you're in the restroom?"
"Yes."
See, that's the amazing thing. We have to secure the location. We need to rescue people is what we need to do. And how have investigators reconciled this secure the scene language from go in there and get them before they die?
Well, when you talk to the Orlando Police Chief, John Mina, and the SWAT captain, they didn't want to approach because Mateen had the tactical advantage. It was a very, very small location where they were working from. There were two restrooms where there were hostages and one very small hallway in between, and they didn't know where Mateen was. So that is what they said is the reason that they didn't go in. He had the advantage. Everyone was at risk. And at 2:50, when he did talk to 911 folks and crisis negotiators, he did say that he had bombs and he was planning on blowing the place up, or he was planning on putting vests on hostages, which really kind of complicated the situation for those responders.
Here in this statement from Orlando Police Chief John Mina, you can hear the predicament of the Orlando police. He says it straight out.
"Once that door would have opened, I'm sure he would have opened fire on our officers, and our officers, trying to protect their lives, would have had to return fire into that small bathroom area, putting the hostages at grave risk."
I can't tell if he's rationalizing or if he's just explaining protocol.
Well, in this particular case, there was long durations of no shooting. They didn't know who he was at first. If you listen to some of the early 911 calls from the night, they're trying to even figure out what he looks like. It's a very chaotic scene, very small scene. There's lots of mirrors. It's dark. There's lights. They don't know who he is. So it was a much different situation than a traditional active shooting situation, which is what Mina told me and what also other folks that have been in this leadership position, police leadership position, have told me as well.
Captain Mark Canty says some things here, and I'm assuming he's speaking to you here.
Mm-hmm, yes.
that are really confusing to me. Let's listen.
To try to walk someone out of that bathroom, the south bathroom as we call it, when he's in that north bathroom, there is no safe way to put officers in a position where they can cover people as they're coming out. Now we don't know if these people are, if they can walk, if they're wounded. So now you're trying to put, you know, multiple SWAT officers with, you know, 10 to 15 wounded people or scared people. And now you're trying to walk them down a 5-foot hallway where someone, they know someone was just shooting. That's very difficult.
But difficult, that's your job. I mean, again, get in there and save the hostages. Easy for me to say, but what's the response?
That's been the critical thinking from some of the folks that have remained skeptical as to the official reason why they didn't go in. And you're right. It's easy to kind of Monday morning quarterback this from here and not being in there. But in the last 2 weeks, the Orlando Police Department released body camera footage showing the entrance to the club and the standoff with Mateen. And it is very confusing and it's very chaotic in there. And you can hear that the folks on the dispatchers are saying, you guys might want to get out of there. He's got a, you know, a high powered rifle. And the police stood their ground. They stood there outside of that door. They just did not get that order to go in. And that's where the criticism comes from, is that leadership saying, why didn't leadership say, go in and go after the shooter as you would in a normal active shooter situation?
Chris Gronick is someone who can Monday morning quarterback.
Yes.
He's a former SWAT officer and a police tactic expert who works on security as a consultant. He defends the police, but he also says that this was an unusual situation.
The guy already demonstrated a propensity of violence that he was going to kill people because he already started. They had text messages that people were bleeding out. You can't just say, IQ, touch my shoe, I'm going to barricade myself. You know, please talk me out of this, when you have innocent victims bleeding out. That's why that's BS.
A year later, are there any regrets, things that would have been done differently, anything like that?
When I talked to Chief Mina, no. I asked him if there's anything that he would have changed that night. He said there were a few things, you know, maybe the way that we handled the media, maybe certain personnel. But no, the tactics did not change. I even asked him, I said, does this change your protocol and how you approach a situation like this before? And he said, absolutely not. They would do the same thing. And both Chief Mina and Captain Canty stand by the response that evening.
Brendan Byrne, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Brendan Byrne is a reporter with Bimmer Station WMFE in Orlando.